You have your New Testament, open them to the book of James, James chapter 4, James chapter 4. In just a moment, we're going to consider verse 13 through verse 17 in our lesson. Thank you so very much for your presence this morning. I was here about 4 or 5 years ago. I forget exactly when it was. I intended to look it up, but forgot to do that. But I appreciate the invitation to come back and be with you in a series of meetings again in your effort to be edified by the preaching of the Word and extend the borders of God's kingdom in this area through the evangelizing of the Word. As I look upon this audience, I see some that I remember from times past, last time I was here, but some are different. It's good to see Ronnie Ramsey and his family again. They have been supporters of me through the years in many different ways. They have truly celebrated with me and my family and mourned with us, and for that I am grateful. Love them. Good to see his father and mother. I guess it was perhaps 17 years ago, perhaps. I tried to add it up. When I last saw them, I worked with them at Liberty. When I first started preaching there with W.R. Jones years ago, Brother Ramsey thought that, well, that boy needs help so bad I'm going to give him a book of sermon outlines, and he did, and I still have it. And I'm still in need of help, so if you got another one, pass another one on. But I appreciate them as well. Appreciate everyone being here. If you're visiting the first time in this community, this congregation, check them out. See if they're truly who they say they are, according to their sign out front, the Church of Christ. Our text is found in the book of James, James chapter 4 and in verse 13. In James chapter 4 and in verse 13, James writes, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such a city, spend the year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." There are some fundamental issues in everyone's life, and we want to speak on some of those fundamental issues this morning. Businesses from time to time take what they might refer to as a business survey. You might say they examine themselves. It's a common practice of the business world to do that, simply to see where they stand in relation to what they have done and perhaps in relation to the plans that they have for the future. And as children of God, we're no different. We're to examine ourselves from time to time. We're to put ourselves to the test to see if whether we're in the faith or not. We need to take a life inventory, and I believe that James's question, what is life, gives us an opportunity to do that. When properly viewed, what is our life will enable us to take a life inventory. There are three basic matters concerning life which all men need to carefully consider. The first is their life from the standpoint of duration. Duration. This is an important matter. We perhaps often sometimes take it for granted because, especially when we're young, we think we're going to live forever. But if we're considering our life from the standpoint of the question that James asked, what is your life? I ask you this morning, what is your life from the standpoint of duration? We all must recognize and realize that we're simply on this earth for a very brief period of time. We live upon this earth but once. Hebrews 9 and 27. It's appointed unto man to die once, and after that the judgment. And our eternal destiny, even though we live here but just one time for a very brief period of time, our eternal destiny is tied to what it is that we do while in this body upon this earth. 2 Corinthians 5 and in verse 10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. to give an account of the things done in the body according to what we have done, whether good or whether bad. So just living here for a short period of time upon this earth, the things that we do while upon this earth is going to determine our eternal destiny. So as we take this life inventory, what is your life from the standpoint of duration? From the standpoint of how long you're going to be here, what is your life? What man plans to accomplish in life on earth, of course, has to be done immediately. You can't put it off. Jesus said in John 9 in verse 4, I must work the works of Him who sent me. While it is day, the night is coming when no man can work. Sometimes we sing the song, work for the night is coming. The word night is used in a figurative sense to refer to death. Jesus said there were some things that He needed to do while it was day, while He was still alive. Death was coming in which no man could work. Death is coming upon us all, and what we have to do in this life has to be done now. So in taking this life inventory in regard to life, what is your life from the standpoint of duration? Life is brief. James says it's like a vapor that appears for a little time. It's like the steam that appears above a boiling pot. As it arises from the pot and dissipates in the air, it quickly disappears. That's just how brief life really is. Job says in Job 14 in verse 1, man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower and fades away. How long does a rose last? Not very long. In all the scientific measures that the florists have taken in order to get them to last longer, they still don't last very long at all. A flower that is cut down simply withers away. In James 1 and in verse 10, he used this same figure in regard to the rich man, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass, and its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. And that's not just true of the rich man. That's true of all men. We'll all pass away, fade away in our pursuits. We will be like the flower of the field. Life on earth is short. It is a fleeting shadow, Job 14 in verse 2. He comes forth like a flower and fades away. He flees like a shadow. He simply does not continue. Job 9 in verse 25. Now my days, Job says, are swifter than a runner. The King James Version, instead of the word runner, uses the word post, and we have added to that man, postman. Now my days are swifter than a runner. The runner under consideration was the runner that would run from village to village, carrying the news of the day, announcing and proclaiming the news of the day. Job says, my days are swifter than a runner. That's just how quick our days go by. In Job 9, in verse 26, they pass like swift ships. You know, during Job's day, I'm sure the ships did not move as fast as they do today. I spent some time in Panama when I was in the military, and I remember standing and watching as the ships would approach the Panama Canal. You could see them as they come up over the horizon as you look out across the sea. And it was just a dot, but you turned around and got busy doing something, and when you turned back around, they were very close. Our days are like swift ships. That's how fast they pass. Like an eagle swooping on its prey. I understand that an eagle might reach speeds up to 75 to 100 miles an hour as it swoops on its prey. That's how quickly our days go by. No one knows how quick days go by except those who are older. As I get older, I wonder, how could time go any faster? And all who are here this morning, I know those who are older, see, it seems like yesterday when things happened, although it was ages ago. The young people because they feel as though they're going to live forever. They think time is creeping. It is so slow. They don't realize how fast it's really fleeing, like an eagle swooping on its prey. What is your life from the standpoint of duration? You want me to tell you what your life is? You need to take this inventory. Your life in regard to duration is the same as man. It's the same as everyone else who is around you. It is short. It is brief. And that which you need to do needs to be done today. It doesn't need to be put off. Those who are young think they're going to live forever, and they think, well, there's always another day to obey the gospel. That's not true. Those who are Christians think, well, there's always another day to become more godlike. No, that's not true. Our life is gone before you know it. In regard to our text under consideration in this life inventory, the next basic matter concerning life, which old men need to carefully consider, is life from the standpoint of purpose. Life from the standpoint of purpose. The real value of life, for many people, is simply measured in quantity of years they've lived. That's how they grow up. That's the impression they're giving from those around them, that if you live to be a ripe old age, then you've had quality of life. No. You've had quantity of life, but quantity of life doesn't necessarily mean that you've had quality of life in regard to being godly. The real value of life is measured in quality, in regard to being godly and living according to the will of God. It's not measured in the quantity of life that you've lived. For example, Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech. After he begot Lamech, Methuselah lived 782 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Methuselah were 969 years and he died. Here we have the biography of the oldest man on record, and this biography is given in three short verses. But we have the biography of the Lord Jesus Christ, in which it is contained in four books, and John even says in the one that he wrote of him in John 21 and verse 25, and there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that could be written or would be written. Yes, the purpose of life. The purpose of life, when we take that life inventory, let's not say that the purpose of life is just to live as long as I can. And if I live as long as I can, if it's 100 years old or 80 or 70 or 60 or 50, whatever it happens to be, I have lived a quality life. Not necessarily so, because your life is not determined. The value of your life is not determined by the quantity of life that you live, but by the quality of life. For some people, their purpose of life is to eat, drink, and be merry. That is, they say that they get all the gusto out of the world that they possibly can, and that's what they're going to do. They live like Elvis Presley. I did it my way. I've heard that mentioned more than one time at a funeral. I did it my way. The attitude that we should have, well, I did it God's way. That's the way he lived. He lived God's way. If we do it our way is not God's way. The rich farmer had this philosophy of life. Get all out of life that you possibly can. Eat, drink, and be merry. That was his philosophy. Luke 12 and verse 15. And he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, Jesus speaking on this occasion. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I'll pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Does the totality of man's life, the totality of man's life simply refer to eat, drink, and be merry? If that's all that life is, for us to go around once in life and to get all of it, we can. If that's all the totality of life is, then I guess what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33 is true. If the dead do not rise, then let us eat, drink, for tomorrow we die. You see, there's more to life than eating and drinking and being merry. There's more to life than accumulating life's goods. There's more to life than pride and haughtiness and arrogance. There's more to pride than material wealth. There's more to pride or to life than gaining the recognition and the praise of men. The purpose of some people is simply to get all of the material things that they possibly can obtain. And by doing that, they think they've lived a profitable life. But in this text that we just read, Jesus said, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. We labor and toil today. We put in long hours at the factory or wherever it is that we work. For what purpose? For what purpose? You say, well, it's to provide for my family and to provide for others who have need that cannot provide for themselves, and those are godly and goodly things to work for. But oh, how many people it is who are laboring and working day in and day out, sometimes 6 and 7 days a week, 12 and 14 hours a day, in order to lay up possessions in this world. And think about it. All the labor, all the earthly labor that we engage in, even for the good things of life, come the day of judgment, what will that do for us? Nothing. Because our life does not consist in the abundance of the things that we possessed. Take heed and beware of covetousness. Covetousness is simply greed. It's a greedy desire for more. There is one way that is easily a demonstration of covetousness in action. And when I preached at Liberty, I think I worked up this sermon. I don't know if it was there or not, but I remember when I once preached in Texas, I worked up a sermon and I got some material from a magazine from the library regarding gambling. It was when Texas first started the lottery. And the magazine has an article in it where one was being questioned who was going to be put in charge of the lottery in Texas. And he was asked the question during the interview, why do people gamble? Well, surely, if he was going to be put in charge of the lottery, then he would know why people gamble. You know what his answer was? Greed. Greed. That's why people gamble. Gambling is covetousness in action. If you want to try to explain to someone what covetousness is, just tell them it's gambling. Gambling is a manifestation of covetousness. That's what it is. If life on earth is the totality of man's existence, then Paul's statement was true. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. But the purpose of some people is to get all that they can out of the world when they go around in life. Jesus said in Matthew 6 and in verse 19, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. When we take this life inventory from James's question, what is your life from the standpoint of purpose? Well, what should be your purpose in life? Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13 and following, I believe, is a divine purpose of all men. To fear God and to keep His commandments, for this is man's all, or it's just the whole duty of man is to do that. And you say, why is that man's all? Why is that man's whole duty in life? Is to fear and have a reverence and respect for God and to keep His commandments. For, note that next verse, verse 14, for or because God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or whether bad. That's why our purpose in life should be to have reverence and respect for God and to keep His commandments, because we're going to be brought into the day of judgment. So in taking life's inventory, what's your life from the standpoint of purpose? Just ask yourself that this morning. What is your life from the standpoint of purpose? What is your purpose right now in living? Is your purpose to fear God and to keep His commandments? Or is it perhaps to be thought well of in the community? Is that your purpose? To live to be 100, is that your purpose? Remember, life is not determined by quantity, but by quality. The next matter concerning life, which all men need to carefully consider, is their life from the standpoint of destiny. Now, this issue is inseparably connected with point number two, because the purpose of one's life is going to influence his destiny. The Bible clearly reveals that the destiny of some men is destruction. Matthew 7 and verse 13, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. So the destiny of some men is destruction. What's your life from the standpoint of destiny? When you take that life inventory, is your destiny destruction? Referred to in Matthew 25 and verse 46 as everlasting punishment. This is the judgment scene that Jesus paints in Matthew 25, where He paints the picture of a shepherd dividing his sheep from the goats, and the goats are put on the left hand, the sheep are put on the right hand. And those on the left hand, the unrighteous, will go away into everlasting punishment. That's the destiny of some. If your purpose in life is to fear God and to keep His commandments, because you recognize that everything is going to be brought before God in the day of judgment, perhaps this will not be your destiny. But for some, because they do not have a divinely authorized and approved purpose of life that they're following, then this is the destiny of some. Returned to in Revelation 21 and verse 8 as the lake of fire which burns with brimstone. That's the destiny of some. But the destiny of others is referred to as eternal life. Note this passage, Romans 6 and verse 23. The wages of sin is death. I want you to get that passage. The wages of sin is death. You know what a wage is. It's something you earn. It's something that you merit. You know what we earn and what we merit by an ungodly life? Death, spiritual death. But in contrast to that, note the word but. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. You see, you don't earn or merit eternal life. You earn or merit by your ungodly actions in this life, spiritual death. But you can't earn or merit eternal life. It is a gift from God. If one could earn or merit his salvation, how many good works will he have to do? No, the unbelieving Jew thought that if he kept the works of the law of Moses, he would be a recipient of everlasting life. Well, the unbelieving Jew didn't recognize he couldn't keep the law of Moses perfectly. Because once he violated some principle or command in the law of Moses, he stood condemned before God. And that's the way all men are. Once they violate any point of God's will, they stand condemned before God. They have earned for themselves spiritual death. But eternal salvation is a gift from God. What's the destiny of your life? When you take life's inventory, what is your life from the standpoint of destiny? Is it eternal life? Is it glory, honor, and immortality? Some people think that eternal life is just never-ending life, but Paul here in Romans 2 and verse 7, he kind of defines for us what eternal life consists of. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for, strive to attain glory, honor, and immortality. Eternal life is more than just an eternal existence. It is glory. It is honor. Some men live their life upon this earth seeking the honor and praise of men. They want to be lifted up on a pedestal before man. But if you're really seeking eternal life, you'll receive honor. You will be elevated by God Himself as you receive eternal life. The direction of eternal life, or the direction of life that one is taking, determines his destiny. Either one is entering by the narrow gate, or he's entering by the broad gate. Which one is it? You see, the direction you're taking in this life determines your destiny. All of that goes back to your purpose in life. Why are you living? What is your purpose? Your purpose is going to determine your destiny. Will it be eternal life or everlasting punishment? It's one or the other. And I'm persuaded that all who are here this morning know, as they take life's inventory, what is your life? What is your life from the standpoint of duration? I know everyone recognizes that they're going to die. Everyone knows that. But not everyone knows how fast life really goes by. We all need to take note of how many people perhaps were here before when I was here that are not here now because death has overtaken them. In just a few brief 4 or 5 years. What is your life from the standpoint of purpose? What is your life from the standpoint of destiny? My life from the standpoint of purpose is determined by God. Is yours determined by your own will? Just as Elvis Presley, "I did it my way." Is that going to be your motto at the end? "I did it my way." Then if that's your motto, then you see your destiny is perhaps determined. And I'm persuaded that all of us, if the Lord came this day, would know what our destiny is. Without the Lord having to say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity," or to enter into the joys of heaven. I'm persuaded that all of us know. Because all of us know what's in our hearts. All of us know how we have lived. Let me close with this poem. The poem is titled, "Life's Clock." The clock of life is wound but once, and no man has the power to tell just when the hands will stop at late or early hour. To lose one's wealth is sad indeed, to lose one's health is more, to lose one's soul is such a loss, and no man can restore. The present only is our own. Live, love, toil with a will. Place no faith in tomorrow, for the clock may then be still. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you need to become one. Why? Because your life is as short as everybody else's. And you're going to die one day and be brought before God in the judgment. And since life is so brief, what you need to do, you need to do today. Your purpose in life should be according to God's divine will. to respect Him and reverence Him and obey His every command. He said in Mark 16 and verse 16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. If you're seeking to do the Lord's will, that's where you begin. Obey Him. Put Him on in baptism for the remission of your sins. You will have a good start on determining your eternal destiny. But might I remind you, as children of God, that your destiny is not sure just because you have at one time rendered faith in Jesus Christ, repented of your sins and confessed His name before an audience or before an individual and submitted to water baptism. That did not determine your destiny. Your life day by day and your conduct determines that. Because every day of your life and every secret thought and thing will be brought before God in the judgment. What is your life? If you're subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, please come as we sing the song that has been selected.